Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, full focus is on them, of course, moving forward, and they'll head out to Santa Clara this weekend and take on the 49ers. But we were reminded, I think, again yesterday watching the NFL, where you saw a couple more star players suffer some injuries, most notably, unfortunately, for the Lions, Aiden Hutchinson, and just a really serious leg injury that he has obviously done for the season.
Brutal.
And every team is dealing with injuries. You, of course, hope they don't happen to anybody, let alone your star players. That's what happened to the Lions. The Chiefs, of course, have had it happen. We can go team by team, essentially. And when you think about I'll call it the second half of the season for the Chiefs, even though I know it's not mathematically the second half. But to me, any time, Cody, you have a bye week, after the bye, I just call it your second half of the season, even if the math doesn't add up.
Even if it's like really third of the season you've played?
I kind of do, though, just because to me, it's separating the two. And you think about your concerns, and for me, other than injury stuff, I think it has to be still overall the offensive production, of course, and whether or not if they do not go and trade for a wide receiver in the next couple of weeks, can this defense continue to play at this level? They have shown it now for over a year and a half that they can play at this level.
Yeah, they have over and over and over again. And so I understand if you said, hey, the second half of the season or post bye week, because it really just gives you the same thing it gives the coaches, a chance to evaluate what you are as a team. You and I both agree that we think that they'll do something about the wide receiver position. Okay, great. I still think it's that they cannot suffer one single more major injury out of any starter and continue to take on water. Just like a boat, a team works the exact same way. There's only so much water you can take on before this thing's sinking. And when you lose the number one running back, number one wide receiver, number two wide receiver, if they lose an interior defensive lineman, and I'm not just including Chris Jones, an exterior defensive lineman like Karlaftis, if they lost Jalen Watson or McDuffie or Reed, you know, like I think there are a lot of pieces. I don't think it's just one. Take on a little bit more water from the injury front, and it's a problem from a season-long perspective. Can they lose someone for a couple of weeks? Yeah. Those injuries are still going to crop up because it's the NFL and that's the way it works. But unless you can guarantee me that Hollywood Brown is coming back at some point this year, or that Isaiah Pacheco will be the same when he comes back, if he comes back later this year, they really can't take on any more water on the serious injury front. They're at maximum capacity on that end.
Well, this is why a lot of teams don't three-peat. This is why teams usually don't win back-to-back, is because the injuries eventually catch up to you. But I'll say it, like we look at the entire NFL and everybody is dealing with this. And usually a lot of times, not always, it is who's healthier come playoff time. And at the end of the season, that usually helps your cause. And last year, the Chiefs suffered, you know, the Charles Minshew injury in the postseason and all that. But other than that, they actually got a lot of their pieces back and healthy late in the season. And their key players were all healthy late in the season. It doesn't, sure, you know, to this point in time, as you said, maybe Hollywood Brown is back, but we've never seen him play an NFL game with this team.
I saw him play one snap in a preseason game for this team.
One snap in Jacksonville. That is it. I hear you on injuries. I just think that applies for most teams. You know what I mean?
Like, I just think some teams can still take on a serious injury because they haven't had as many serious injuries as the Chiefs have. Maybe the Lions are in that group now because they just lost their version of losing Chris Jones, right? A dominating force who can control an entire game. And there are certainly other teams with injuries like Christian McCaffrey, right? But they expect McCaffrey back at some point. Like some of the other
maybe
injuries.
We'll see. Yeah. Achilles tendonitis going to Germany for advice. We'll see. For the sake of the NFL, I hope at some point Christian McCaffrey is back because he's obviously one of the best players in NFL history at this position.
And if there's one position we know any team can take on an injury, it's running back. Generally speaking, you can survive that. They turned Jordan Mason into a 1,500-yard back overnight. I don't even, the third guy had 100.
Yeah, was it Grindo or whatever his name is?
Never heard of the man in my life. Don't know. Drew probably knows where he played college, but I don't know anything about
Do you know?
Grindo.
Oh, he's hurrying, putting his headset on.
Started at Wisconsin, transferred to Louisville.
Oh, Wisconsin.
That's why, okay, of course
he's
Wisconsin.
He's technically out of Louisville, but yes, he's a Wisconsin guy.
Okay, never heard of him before in my life, and now he was a 100-yard rusher. So at least at that position, they can take on some water. But I mean, the Chiefs lost some incredibly important things. And the other part of it, you're like, well, they haven't had any major injuries on defense. Just the ticky-tack ones. I'm like, yeah, but the whole thing comes back to this, which is for the second straight year, like it or not, this team is not led by or wins games by their offense. They're a defensive team. I know people don't like hearing that because then you start thinking about like the way the Steelers won for all those years and you're like, ugh, it's just kind of a gross way to win football games and it's less enjoyable for me. And they have the number one quarterback in the NFL. How can they be a team led by their defense? I'll just be honest. It's the best unit on the team for the second straight
it's not close.
Year. It's,
yeah.
I mean, it's the better unit. Yeah. Like, that's why they're led by...
People like offense. We live in the fantasy football world now, so it's all... Everybody wants, you know, offense and points. It's why the NFL for the last decade has changed rules to benefit the offense more than the defense. That is all true. And there's a boring brand of football, which is what the Steelers typically have been here recently, but they're winning games in actually a similar fashion. You and I brought this comparison up, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, and it's... And it people... like take it as a shot at the Chiefs, but the way they're winning and the way the Steelers are winning is almost identical right now. It really isn't different. I understand their quarterback is named Justin Fields, and here in Kansas City, the guy is Patrick Mahomes, who's going to go down as the greatest, if not second greatest quarterback of all time. But right now, how they're winning games is actually not any different than how the Pittsburgh Steelers are winning football games.
I would say there's one small change, and that the Steelers are winning by getting turnovers more and taking the ball away more. Yeah. And the Chiefs' slight uptick in that is because they have a better quarterback.
Yeah, and let me be clear.
They can have slightly better quarterback play and get less turnovers, and the Steelers can't.
Yeah, be clear. I'm not telling you that the Steelers are better than Kansas City. I'm just saying the way they're winning and the way the Chiefs are winning is identical right now.
Yeah, it's not dramatically different enough. The only other big question we'd have is the same one we've had all year, which is, will they improve their wide receiver position, or will Xavier Worthy take the same leap in production that we saw a guy named Rashee Rice take? And I'll just be honest, wide receiver, other than quarterback, is the single most difficult position to predict from a draft and development standpoint in the entire league. So me banking on Xavier Worthy will be as good as Rashee Rice was, just no chance you can actually count on that, because wide receiver, again, is an incredibly volatile position from a draft and development standpoint. It just is.
Different type of receiver too, all the way in any way. You know, I mean, the type of routes I think that you will eventually, as his career continues, for Xavier Worthy and Rice, they're just two different types of players. Now, I think Worthy has a chance to end up being a much better route runner. This was the one thing, even many, many years with Tyreek Hill, everybody just thought Tyreek Hill was just a speedster. Like, that's all he could do. And I think people throughout his career have realized, no, Tyreek Hill is actually a great route runner on top of that. Yeah. And that's hopefully what happens for Worthy as his career progresses, maybe this year, if not into the next year, which is that we all know the speed element, but can he continue to get better and better as a route runner? That's the answer. Like, if you're asking me, by week 15, by the playoffs, if Worthy is going to have an even bigger impact and improve, the question will be if the route running continues to get better and better. I'm not saying he's bad at it right now, but he, you know, as you learn more and more of the offense, you're going to also become a better route runner. If you're not thinking as much, you're just going out there and playing football and truly utilizing your skill set, and it just comes to you so easy at that point in time. So I think the wide receiver room, no doubt, for this offense to not just be 12th to 14th in points per game again, which is where they're at. I haven't looked after yesterday.
I haven't looked after yesterday, but
they
I'm
were
sure
14th entering the weekend. Scoring was up this week in the NFL, so they might have dropped down, honestly. I'm not sure. Like, scoring was actually up yesterday.
There were a lot of teams who dropped like 50 for whatever reason.
Bucks put up like 51 points on the Saints. That was a crazy game.
Saints defense looks as bad as their offense looked good in the first two weeks.
Saints come back down to
50 points.
It was fun, Clint Kubiak, for 2 weeks. It was a good run there for a couple weeks where everybody was praising them.
Chiefs are currently at 15th.
Okay, so they fell back a spot. All right. They fell back one spot.
Number one offense in the NFL, Detroit.
Well, when you put up 49, like I think it was yesterday, we'll talk about the Cowboys. Don't worry. Can't wait to talk about the Dallas Cowboys later on in the show.
Hilarious
that
franchise.
That is for sure.
Between that and the Jags, I see somebody over in the text line complaining about how bad of a coach Doug Peterson is. Boy, there are some real, like, expectation did not meet reality moments for a couple of these teams this year. Those two being...
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.